And we are going to dive into the Word of God tonight. And we've been in a series now over the last several weeks looking at an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians and kind of going through it in an expository manner and exegeting the Word of God and just finding so much application. We really could spend until the Lord comes back on each and every one of these verses. They are action-packed and they are incredible. And we're looking at chapters number 1 and 2, the subject of the example church. The subject of the example church. And so tonight we're going to look at verse number 3 this evening. And just for time's sake tonight, and because we've had you stand sit, why don't you just be seated tonight and follow along as I read in verse number 3. The Bible says this, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father." Verse number 4, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." The example church. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the example church. And now we're beginning to dig into why is it the example church? What is it that in this passage of Scripture, Paul has really given us that is a great help? That's a great blessing. It's a foundation that you and I can look at. We've been looking at this example of the church really starts with a strong church. It is a strong church. Well, then what makes this church a strong church? If we have for us an example, and if the example is strong, then what is it in this passage of Scripture that shows or proves to us that it's a strong church? Well, we saw, first of all, it's faithful ministers. Look with me here at verse number 1 of chapter number 1. It says this, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, these were faithful ministers." Faithful ministers. Not only were they faithful ministers, but also what made it a strong church was its faithful members. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians." Did you check the wording there? Unto the church of the Thessalonians. I love that Paul did not address in a letter of the church at Thessalonica, but to the church of the Thessalonians. That means this, for you and I, what we learn and what we see out of this passage of Scripture is that you and I are the church. Remember, I said it last week, I'm just going to say it again this week. It's amazing that if, God forbid, something were to happen to this building, this church, we say goodbye. That's it. It comes down. For some reason, we cannot get in here. Do you understand that if we met down at the park or went up to Eagle Creek or just decided to go out here in this field, that it doesn't mean that if we lost this building, well, that's it. Cross Point Baptist is gone. It's no longer there. It's over. It's kaput. No, you and I are the church. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Did you get me a water? Is that what you did? Oh, you are the man, I'm telling you. It's reading my mind. Thank you. I thought you were chasing me there, so I was like, I better come over here. You know what I mean? Nonetheless, we are the church. You and I are the church. And as Paul begins to write, he's writing to these people. It's specific. It's you and I, we learned last week. We got to be involved. All of us getting involved. I mean, just listen, watch. We just went over a budget. There are those that might be a naysayer and, well, you know, in the New Testament, we don't have the word tithe and, oh, we don't carry it over and it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with 10% and that's Old Testament and this. Look, I mean, everybody can argue all day long. Here's what I'm going to say. All of us ought to be involved in investing in eternity. If you agree with that, say amen. All of us. That doesn't mean, well, you know, I only make so-and-so, and, you know, I'm not getting a stimulus package because I don't have this, or, you know, I'm not in this category. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Now, we all ought to be busy in investing and giving to. This is all of us coming together. This annual budget that we had this evening is not to say, well, I'm telling you what, this is only for these people over here and a couple back there, maybe one or two up here. No, this is for all of us to be involved. All of us to volunteer. All of us to be willing to invest in lives and invest in souls and invest in more missionaries and invest in our young people and excited about another school year that's coming up and excited about taking on more staff and taking on more missionaries and continually seeing, as we've seen over the last 7 weeks, and even this week, as we'll see another just new convert that's going to be getting baptized. And we all ought to be excited about what God is doing. Why? Because we are the church, and we see, first of all, faithful ministers, but we also see faithful members. But then we see it's founded in God. It's founded in God. Look what the verse says here in verse number 1. Which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a distinctive belief on which the church is built. That means you and I, watch very carefully. We believe, as the church, we believe that God the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save us from perishing and to give us eternal life. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior who has been promised from the very beginning of history. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. The church is founded upon God. I know we paused here for a good while last week, but I just want to say this. In all the worship wars of today, and all the standards wars of today, and Christians fighting each other over the most silly of things that we've even seen even more exasperated, I feel like, or exaggerated, and just more and more lumped on in 2020. Now, you and I, living in this day and age, have a final authority. And may that final authority be based on the Word of God, founded upon the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you believe that, say amen. We ought to believe that. I mean, just as we see an influx of different nationalities from around the globe begin to move into our area, it is going to be vitally important that you and I continue to stand upon the Word of God. Because, friend, Jesus Christ is not equal to Allah. Amen? It's above it. It's above Him. Allah's dead, done, over. Jesus Christ lives and reigns forever and ever. Jesus Christ is not equal to Buddha. Jesus Christ is not equal to Muhammad. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ has always existed and exists today, and, friend, will always exist. He is, He is the I Am. That means this: He is everything that you and I could ever imagine. If we were to live a million lifetimes, we could not put into words who Jesus Christ is. But we believe that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that He lives and reigns today. Now, friend, look, in the world we live in, standing upon the Word of God is only going to get harder and harder. It is. We live in a world that's very educated. Well, you're saying Christians aren't educated? No, what I'm saying is there are many who were able to come to knowledge, but that they don't ever really comprehend that this is a heart issue. The world we live in is a Google world. The world we live in is becoming more and more wicked daily, accepting of sins that even in the lost world 50 years ago, they would not have touched with a 10-foot pole. And now, even in Christian realms sometimes, it's accepted as okay. And grace, and God covered it. And it's going to be, no, friend. May you and I always be founded in the Word. But then we also see it's founded with gifts. It's founded with gifts. The Bible says here, grace and peace. Look what it says here. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a strong church possesses God's supreme gifts, grace and peace. Grace, the undeserved favor and blessings of God. Note that exact wording of this verse says, grace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I ought to be thankful for this favor and this blessing that God bestows upon His people, upon His church. but it also says peace. Peace in our English language means to bound, joined, woven together. It means to be assured, confident, and secure in the love and care of God. For you and I, living today, we have a peace. Why do we, think about this, why do we have a peace? Well, a big reason is because we have the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is going to guide, and He's going to provide, and He's going to strengthen and sustain and deliver and encourage and empower, and He's going to bless us. The point is this, watch now, a church is strong because the body is a people that experience the peace of God as they walk throughout the world day by day. That's why John said, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why does God have that in there? Because Jesus is saying, look, you and you, there are those on the outside of this building tonight that they are in fear and they live constantly in just what's going to happen next and who's going to get elected. And now there's this Delta of variant of the virus and it's just fear and it's fear. And it's fear. Let me tell you, let me put it this way. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And may you and I always live with a peace, understanding that the world doesn't know peace. They don't know, but you and I have peace. Why? Because if you're saved tonight, do you know that you and I are going to live an eternity with Jesus Christ? How do you scare somebody with heaven? Think about it. I'm not scared of eternity. Thomas Shepherd is not scared of eternity. Why? Because I'm going to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. How many are thankful for that? Amen? Now, true story, this is just me, but I'm a little bit afraid how I'm going to, you know, enter in. Kind of would like to know, like, how am I going to die? Wouldn't that be very interesting to know? Like, I don't know, I kind of fear how I'm going to die, but I don't fear dying. You don't have to say amen right there, but that's just me, okay? Nonetheless, we are then founded with prayer. Founded with prayer. Now, I'm not sure, is this froze up, Brother Gary, Brother Darren, is this froze up, it's not froze up? We are like way, way behind. Check it out. Watch all these points. Faithful ministers, faithful members, founded in God, founded with gifts. Good. Okay, now we're caught up. Now we're founded with prayer. I mean, if y'all want to go all night, we can go all night, but I'm just telling you, I'm flying through these because we got to keep going. Founded with prayer. Look at verse number 2. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Look at it carefully. Now tune in, verse number 2. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. A strong church stirs prayer. This is a crucial trait, for God has ordained prayer to be the medium through which He blesses. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 22. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. John chapter 15, verse number 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Prayer requires a presence and sharing and talking. This is God, listen now, this is God wanting to fellowship with you and I. This is God wanting to spend time with you and I. This is that I have to break this down. Last week I said I truly at Crosspoint Baptist Church, it's not a biblical thing and there's not a scripture and verse, but I just like altar calls. The reason I like altar calls is because God is speaking to us through the message, and I feel like at the end, I just want to talk to Him, and it gives us a moment, in the moment, with the Holy Spirit moving and pressing, that we get to step out, and there's just something about getting on our knees, and together, just calling out to Him. Now look, that's personal, and Pastor Defoe, in the day and age we live, it's going away, and especially amongst a bigger group, they're doing away with it, and whatever, that's fine, I don't believe I'm going to stand before the Lord, but I just believe that if God is speaking to me, and I don't have five kids right there because they're learning about Jesus in other Sunday school classes, and I don't have a baby, and God is working, and boom, He's put on my heart, man, a better Christian, a better husband, a better father, that at that moment, as the Holy Spirit talking, I get a moment to walk out and to go and to talk to Him. I could do it later. Can we do it later? Well, Tom, absolutely. You can do it whenever you want to. God, you can talk to God whenever. But I feel like in that moment with the Holy Spirit's pressing and moving, it's not a push of a show of emotions. This is us getting a chance to step out and to talk to God. And I said that last week, but I will put it this way. Religion oftentimes, if we're not careful, especially as independent fundamental Baptists, I think at times we almost put God in this box and we are quick, Brother Jim, to jump on Catholics for, you know, Hail Mary full of grace and going through sacraments. And man, we can preach a message, Pastor. Why don't we preach a message on that all day long? And boy, you get an amen. But to be honest, we get pretty religious in our prayers. When's the last time you really thanked God for your food and actually meant it? Like, we're pretty religious, aren't we? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I mean, I got my memorized. I'll tell you right now. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Quick, to the point. Let's eat, baby. I mean, that's the world, the realm I live in. But you know what? I think God really would like to hear from us. We'd like to talk to Him. My wife does it. My wife's sitting back here with Miss Michelle. Kara, we don't talk to each other in made up phrases. Dear Carrie, thank you for the day. Have a great day. Heading to work. Amen. It's not, if I woke up every day, that's how we communicated. Let's be honest, the girl, we're not making it. You know, we do. We communicate with each other. We don't stop communicating if we're having a bad day, because, Jim, we're not having a bad day. We're having a bad 5 minutes, and we still communicate. See what I'm saying, Brother Dane? It's if we're not careful, in the Baptist realm, what we do is we put God in this little religious box. We just say our little made-up prayer. I tell you, we are just as guilty as some Buddhists going down and doing their little thing. We're just as guilty as some false religion that does their little Mormon thing, does their little Catholic thing. I mean, you know what God wants in a prayer? Why he instituted this is because it's us communicating with Him. So, church, let's just ask ourselves this tonight. Are we communicating with Him? No, we talking to Him? Oh, yeah, I read my book and yeah, I did my devotion and I got through it. Okay, but did you talk to Him about it? What'd you talk about? Oh, you know what? I kind of ran through the list of Lord, give me, help, heal, pay, do. It's just, I think God wants to hear from us more than just help. Jesus, say, I pray. Amen. Excuse me, friend. God wants us to communicate with Him. Amen. Talk to Him. You ever heard somebody, and I don't know, maybe anybody here that's really new. I was looking for Ben tonight, but maybe not. But if you've been really newly saved, you ever heard somebody, Pastor Dan, that talked to the Lord and they were just saved? You know what I love about it? It's very not religious. You ever heard somebody? It's amazing. And I forget, Carrie, we asked somebody to pray here recently. They have not been saved any time at all. And brother, I just be honest. I think they were very nervous because it's in front of pastor and I'm just saved. I don't know how to pray, you know. And here's what he said. Hi, God. It touched me. He was talking. He's talking to the Lord. Hi, God. I want to talk to you for a second. And then he just started to communicate with God. That stirred in me. That's what I need to do. Oh, you got this big, eloquent prayer down. No. Hi, God. It's me, your son. I'd like to talk to you for a second. See, I just don't want to fly past this point of it's a strong church because of the prayer life. Gentlemen, every one of those names on there doesn't mean that because of a deacon or because of this position or that position. Brother Denny, you weren't on that list tonight. It doesn't mean that, oh, you know, they're up here and I'm down here. Well, it starts with Pastor Shepherd and kind of Pastor Dan, Pastor, works its way down. We are all sinners saved by grace. And we all have, every one of us, the attention of the Creator of the universe. Isn't that amazing, God, Brother Lingle? We get to walk into His presence. Boldly, is what the Word of God says. Boldly walk into His presence. I use this illustration, but it's a really cool one, so I'm just going to use it again. Maybe you forgot about it, but what I love about five little kids, Miss Laura, is that those kids, if anybody comes to my office and the door is shut, you know this, Jim, you're in there all the time, and you really never knock if my door is shut. I don't think hardly ever. I think you kind of leave me alone and kind of go, but, and Pastor Chris, you did this today. You know, I was in there studying, and we had to talk about this, the annual meeting, and so you walked in, and you knocked, and then you slowly opened the door and you said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm so sorry to bug you." And that was your exact words. Most people do that. You know that my five kids do not do that. I don't care how many times, Carrie, we like spank them and get onto them. You don't barge in a door. You knock first. Oh, no. Six-year-old twins, they walk up to that door, and here's what they do. They boldly approach. Walk in. "Dad, you got any gummy bears? You got any?" They just start talking. I'm like, "Go see Willy Wonka. You know, Mrs. Crotcher's back there. Go see her. You know, go see Mrs. Fulford. I got a candy." But they come barging in. Do you know that we get to boldly approach our God that way? Like, boldly just walk in. Well, what if he's busy? What if he's got time for me? No, he's got time for us. He's our God. He's our Abba Father. He's there. What makes this strong church is it's founded in prayer. But would you write this down or look at this? There's also a freedom to serve. A freedom to serve. Look at verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing, verse number 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope, all three of these, in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father. A strong church is a church that is stirred to serve. There's several things that excite a church that get us warmed up and ready to serve. Now, listen, watch. Notice that in all of these, what is this freedom to serve? Are you ready for this? In everything I'm about to list, there's no mention of the pastor. There's no mention of whips or do it or belittling. There's no here listed in a strong church that, to get people to serve, you really got to beat them over the head. No, there ought to be in every single one of you and I a willingness, a want, a desire to want to serve in the local church, to want to serve our Savior. You see, faith stirs the church to work. Remembering without ceasing, look what it says here, verse number 3, your work of faith. Faith that it took to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, truly believes, he is stirred to serve the Lord Jesus. The same is true with the body of believers, the church, the body of Christ. It says in James chapter 2 and verse number 14, a verse that we know, Pastor Chris, often is taken out of context, that many who believe you can lose your salvation, man, this is where they run. But the Bible says, what did it profit? She said, what did it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith, hath he not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give him those things which are needful to the body, doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, watch now, being alone. Faith moves you and I to serve. That doesn't mean that we serve for our salvation. There is nothing inside of Thomas Shepherd that is good enough to work a million lifetimes to get me to heaven. No, I serve by faith. I got saved, and because I'm saved, now my faith pushes me. It encourages me to want to serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not in the local church. Listen very carefully. It's not the local church. I guess I got to go soul winning. Well, I guess I have to take to the offering. Well, I guess I'll serve in the nursery. I got to get on the list. Somebody's going to get on to me if I'm not there. No. There ought to be something inside of us, because we accepted Him as our personal Savior, that moves you and I not to work for our salvation, but to work, watch now, because of our salvation. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you and I. There is this faith aspect, but I love the wording here. There's also this love aspect. love stirs the church to serve. It says this in verse number 3 here. It says, without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Love. Labor of love. The word labor in our English language means to toil. Because the believer who is driven by love is the believer who has really seen the love of Christ. That's why Paul meant when he said the love of Christ constrains me to serve Him in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Listen, I know I'm moving fast, but don't lose me here. It constrains us. Why? Because this we just judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. And He died for all. Now listen to the wording here. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You catch this? But unto Him which died for them and rose again. Love stirs the church to serve. Why? It's a labor of love. Why? Because the love of Christ constraineth you and I. How does it constrain us? How does it push us? How does it pull us to serve? Watch now. Because the love of Christ pushes you and I to realize that we're not supposed to be living this world for us, but for Him. Now, you ready for this? That's not always easy. It's getting harder. For 3 years I traveled and preached down in dozens and dozens and dozens of churches from 2018 to the beginning of this year until becoming pastor here. Dozens of churches. Can I tell you something, friend? Brother McGroney, I know you know this. Do you know getting a young person of 18 years old to realize that this world is not about them, but it's about Christ, is like 1 in 1,000. And I'm talking about in Baptist churches. You know why? Because we grew up believing that the world revolves around us. And parents and grandparents tonight, we do ourselves a big favor if we'd start raising a generation of young people to realize this world is not all about us, but it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about living for eternity. How many believe the old saying, we're just pilgrims here? Would you say amen? It means we're just here for a little while. It means if you're saved tonight, I mean, our bodies are getting older, and you know, it was last week this time I turned 38. I get it. We're getting older. Now I realize more and more and more, life is but a vapor. And it's true. But I think, wouldn't you agree that sometimes it really is kind of hard to live with eternity in view? It's kind of hard. Because eternity is not always right in our face. But we see the love of Christ constrain us, that pushes us, that moves us. It actually becomes all about Him. And every day in Target, or every day in your favorite coffee shop, every day in Walmart, every day pumping the gas, every day at Kroger, You stop looking at, well, you know, I'm going to do my duty on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock or, you know, at 9:45 or whatever. Crosspoint starts on Sunday morning. It's the weirdest times here. I'm not sure, Pastor Defoe, who chose the times for Sunday school and Sunday morning. But after about a year and I'm in, you just get ready, bulk your seatbelt. We're going to change the times like some normal times, like 10 and 11 o'clock. You don't have to say amen there. But whenever our church starts, nonetheless, there's a new sheriff in town, amen. Don't get upset, okay? The budget's already been voted on. You've said amen, and I do, and whatever we said. Look, I'm just telling you, whether it starts at 9:45, look, that's just not when we come in, and right then's when we did our religious duty, and we're good for the week. You know, the love, the faith, and the love, it pushes us. But watch this, and I'll be done. I know it's 8:02, but watch. Look what this verse says here, verse number 3. It says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God our Father. You know, the word patience means this. You ready for this? Listen to the definition. The dictionary. Listen to the definition. It means endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He's going to provide and deliver and strengthen and sustain. We know that He's going to guide us. We know that He's going to do all these things. But you know, it might not happen all right now. You and I have to be patient. Knowing that if we knew Jesus Christ was coming back, let's just say at 8:15 tonight, how differently would we have lived today? Brother Earl, how different would you and I? We'd have lived probably today a little bit differently. Would we not? We all know that. We know, Miss Liz, that if we knew that He was coming back today, Amy, look, there's no doubt. We all would have changed probably something in our walk. We have to be patient. Church, we have to be patient, realizing that we witness to somebody, and they might, Brother Rick, we talked about this today, they might not get saved right away. We got to be patient. Keep planting that seed. Keep planting that seed. Keep planting that seed. Patience. Patience is realizing, Carrie and I right now, for all the moms and dads in here, we're raising our kids. Would we like to be in a stage, you know, where we're sending our daughter off to Africa and, you know, and it'd be great, you know, if all of our kids, we could just say, everybody go get dressed, and everybody gets dressed, and they all do their own hair. Nope, right now, Carrie's being patient, getting four girls ready every single Wednesday night. It's patience and what? Raising kids. Instilling in them the love of God. Patience is, you know what? I would absolutely love to just write a $2 million check and put a parking garage out there. But you know what? We can't. It's patient giving and toiling and plowing and sowing and reaping. And then wake up the next day and do it all over again. That patience, it pushes, encourages you and I. Stay in the race. It's not a 100-yard dash. This is a marathon. Let's just keep running. Let's just keep running. Let's just keep running.